Yo, hey, yo, what's up and what's happening? Welcome back to another episode of The Great Debate Show. Live in effect, we are here, Jarvis Jeffrey Sr., Terrence Smith, we're in the building, and today we are talking about wrestling only. This is a strictly wrestling podcast today, and there's so much to talk about as far as AEW Revolution last night. We still have to talk about Tony Khan purchasing Ring of Honor and a few other rumors and deals that could take place, what all that means for wrestling, you know, what's going to happen with these guys, Ring of Honor, their free agents, who's going to be on what show, will there be another show, will Ring of Honor get TV time? It's just so much to talk about, and we're going to try to run through this as quickly as we can. But first, the AEW Revolution review. Terrence Smith, how you feeling, man? We got a lot to talk about,
man,
with this wrestling.
I'm feeling great, man. Hey, anytime that we can talk some wrestling, you know me, that is always the high point for me. And had a very good high point yesterday. You know, our boy Booker T was in town yesterday, and I got to work the event that he was at, got to shake Booker's hand, and had a few segments where, you know, my camera was right on Booker T. And, you know, as I tweeted yesterday, growing up being a young black wrestling fan, we didn't really see ourselves represented a whole lot on TV, really, honestly, if at all. Booker T was always that hardcore representation of us, right? Like, he didn't change the way he talked. He didn't really change the way he acted. He said nigga on live TV for crying out loud. So,
yeah, he ain't the only one to say on live TV.
Yeah, man. Hey, Hulk Hogan.
No, don't forget
Vince.
Don't forget Vince.
It was good to just see that brother up close, man. And, you know, the man, the myth, the legend for sure, a two-time Hall of Famer and five-time WCW champion Booker T. It was good to meet him.
That's what's up, man. That's good. Old King Booker.
King Booker, you know, and I was telling somebody yesterday, I was like, out of so many wrestlers, he's one of the few that, like, his look never really changed outside of him growing his hair. His gimmick never really changed outside of, like, the King Booker, which he was still Booker T. Like, he was never not Booker T. He was just, like, Booker T with a crown. It was like, I'm bougie now, you know.
Yeah.
Which is still a representation of us, because sometimes, you know, we get a little big head, we get a little money or something.
There you go.
And
with the pinky, you know, in the air.
What's that?
I said with the pinky in the air. Remember he
with
the
pinky, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we get a little bougie sometimes. You know, we put the Bud Light down and drink some mimosas.
Yeah.
hey, shouts out to that man. It was so good to meet him. Just, you know, long history in the business, and still right now he's in the business of giving back to the business. So it's always good to see.
Yeah. Well, that's what's up, man. Glad you got to see him then, meet him, actually speak with him for a moment, shake his hand. That's good, man. That's what's up. Old Booker T, man, and nothing bad to say about him, right? He's a good, seems like a pretty good guy.
Nothing bad to say about him at all. I know he's there for business. I know a lot of people paid money to see him and take a picture with him. But I will say that he's one of the few people that are still in the business in some form that I would actually love to sit down and actually talk to. Because I know Booker's story is totally different from most people who got into the business.
Yeah, it is.
I would love to sit and talk to him just about, you know, traveling and just his time throughout the business. Didn't get that opportunity, but like I said, I know he's there for business. You know, he's there. He's got a contractual agreement, I'm assuming, to take pictures and make appearances. And you know, he didn't do any wrestling, but he did, you know, hype the crowd up. And he was a part of I think all three shows, so they'll air in a few weeks. Anybody want to check those out? CW30 Memphis. I'm not supposed to be advertising for a different network, but it is what it is.
Right.
Saturday at noon is when they air, so you know, be on the lookout for those. So who knows? Maybe there'll be a time where I'll be able to do those types of things.
Right. Well, we won't tell your good friends over there where you are right now over at WMC. But, we'll
let them figure out what they figure out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I definitely want to check that out. And, so appreciate that info right there. Catch it on the C-Dub. Memphis. All right. So, Terrence Smith, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. He just saw Booker T and had a good wrestling weekend. And later on that evening, we had a pay-per-view. AEW, yep. Revolution, one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. I know they only have a few of them anyway, but Revolution and All Out are the pretty big ones right there. Like the one of them are the WrestleManias. I don't know if it would be Revolution. I think it would be All Out. But Revolution, this was the third one. It was a pretty good show overall. We'll give the grade overall on what we thought of the show, and as well as we will do by these matches, match by match. But T, if you want to go ahead and start, you know, from the top of the card.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to start from the very first match, and we'll make our way to the very end. And it was a very stacked card with a lot of payoffs. And I think that that's one thing that the other company could benefit from is having bigger payoffs, because it's one thing to go out and put on a good match. And we see AEW do this week in and week out where they put on good matches. But for their shows, hey, they have some very big payoffs, and that makes the match that much better. Even if, you know, a lot of, and we'll talk about, like, championships later on, but even, like, John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson, no championship, but there's a payoff there. You know, Bryan Danielson wants Moxley to team with him. Moxley's like, yeah, but I got to kick your ass first, you know. So something there, and there's a reason to watch it outside of them just busting each other up. So we're going to start at the very bottom of the card, man, and work our way up. First match on the actual card, jumping off out of the doggone stands through a table on and was it one or two people on the table?
I think it was only one at the time, but it was but it was three tables, and he got every bit of it.
Right. Hey, listen, Sting is twice my age, man. I'm 33. Sting is 62, so right at twice my age.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that to save a life, man. I'm just, and I know a trained professional, he's been doing it as long as I've been living, if not longer. But, man, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
That's ballsy. You break a hip or anything, man, that's it for you. And let's not forget, Sting is out there with a broken neck still. Like, he never got his neck repaired, so that neck is still broken. So, just, man, impressive all the way around. But just give me your thoughts on the match, man. But I just had to kind of give Sting a quick nod right there.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to Sting on that one. That was an entertaining match, which was very surprising for me. That was one of the matches that I hoped would have been earlier in the show. But this match was actually right before the main event last night. But it was good. And I guess it was at the right time because everybody needed to kind of calm themselves down from some of the matches that we had just saw and some of the events that had took place. And so that was the match where it's kind of like, okay, take a breather here, you know, make a sandwich or something, get your snack or whatever, and we're going to get ready for the main event. But that match was actually pretty good. Darby Allin and Sting and Sammy Guevara getting the victory, of course. But I thought that Andrade and those guys, Matt Hardy and what's his name from Private Party, I thought they put on a good match. Isaiah, I think that was, Isaiah Cassidy, yeah, they put on a good match. It was good. Not too long.
I like those guys. I really like those guys. AEW is so stacked with tag teams that I don't know when they're going to get their spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I really, honestly, if I'm being honest, Jarvis, my two favorite tag teams right now, those guys, and I really, really love, what's the guy's name? Max Caster and Anthony Bowens.
The Acclaim.
The Acclaim, yeah, the Acclaim have arrived. I really like those guys.
And they are over.
They are so stacked with good tag teams that deliver well on the mic and deliver well in the ring, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing at all. But I'm really, really waiting for those guys to get their spot, you know. And I will say Tony Khan has been pretty consistent with trying to give people their time with the title, their time on top. I'm glad that Jurassic Express is getting theirs now. We'll talk about them in a few minutes. But I want those guys to get theirs too, man. They deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that, Terrence. Well said. And I will say this, that, look, I know one reason why Private Party has been kind of pushed to the back is because the other, I'm sorry, I can't get these guys' names right, but the other partner with Private Party, he had an injury, And I don't think he's 100% steel yet. So that's why you'll only see him in the backstage in certain promos. And he'll just he'll just be standing. But he's not 100% back from that injury yet. So that's why you will see Isaiah alone or teaming up with Matt Hardy or somebody else in HFO. However, they definitely, when he gets back, they need to get Private Party back up to the front of things, put him up against the Acclaimed, or no, don't do that. Put, matter of fact, have Matt Hardy turn Wednesday night. He's probably going to turn on, you know, his people, because his brother Jeff will be in the building on Wednesday.
He's
going to
turn once Jeff gets there.
Yeah, well, Jeff will be there Wednesday. I'm pretty sure of it. His non-compete, 90-day non-compete comes to an end on Wednesday. He will be in the building, I'm almost for certain, and a good story.
He'll be there. Oh, yeah. He's already there.
Yeah, he's already there, and a good story. Now, Jeff Hardy has messed some things up by letting the people know that he was going to be in AEW, because now there's actually a lawsuit for WWE, or they're looking to file a lawsuit against AEW for, you know, hey, Jeff Hardy talking too much, because he pretty much confirmed that AEW was tampering. And there's a lawsuit that can happen. It hasn't been done yet, but the rumors are WWE is still gathering everything and all the information needed, but they definitely are either trying to scare AEW, or they're going to do it just out of spite. And they can do that because Jeff Hardy, that's just something you don't do. We know you're coming, but you can't say you're coming. And he did. Right. Okay, so, but anyway, not to get off the subject, I think Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy should go into a story with Private Party. Private Party, you know, I guess they will be turn heel or continue to be heel, what they are maybe, and Matt turns on them, or maybe Matt and Jeff are heel. I don't know, but you put them in a story, and then the Acclaimed. Glad that you brought that up, T, because this is the last pay-per-view that we need to have without the Acclaimed being in it. That doesn't need to happen again.
Guys. I really do love those guys.
I do too, man. They are over. And Caster, he's got to be careful with his bars when he's spitting. But man, he can really say some things that can he can really say some things that can be touchy and funny at the same time. And poor Kane. Kane just had a bad week last week in wrestling.
Kane had a real bad week.
Even though he hasn't been wrestling in quite some time, he did. Adam Hangman Page got his ass on Twitter. And then so did Max Callister coming to the ring on Wednesday on Dynamite. The Acclaimed, they are entertainment. They really are. And it's time to really push them. I hope to see that. And by the time All Out gets here, they need to be in a great story with some tag team. I don't know who and I don't care, but it needs to be where we're going to see them more on Dynamite or Rampage instead of, you know, Dark. All right, but again, that match though, real quick, it was okay. It was pretty good, you know. But there's not much to talk about though, T, because what I don't like about what AEW did with this is they were just trying to fit everybody that they possibly could, that every as far as the stars on that card. But that was
okay.
Really,
let me ask you this: okay. Andrade's been there how long now?
Man, it's probably going on a year now.
Yeah,
time
flies. I can remember only what, 3-4 real matches I've seen him in.
Yeah.
I know he had the fire spot with Cody.
Yeah.
He had the kind of the series of matches with Pac, right?
Yeah.
Pac, or the bastard.
Yeah.
I just can't call that man a bastard, man. Like, I don't know him.
Right.
And you know, and I think I know him more for like the botch they had with Chavo Guerrero, which that's his own total separate situation. What I'm asking you is, would Andrade have been better staying where the hell he was?
Well, I don't know. I guess that's what it's looking like. It does. But yeah. I think where they got lost, I would say yes. To answer your question, yeah. But I think where they got lost at is that they bumped heads on who was going to manage him. And I don't know if it was that serious. Like, just let the dude do what he does. Does he really need one? But first, they said that it was going to be Vicky, and Vicky brought him out. But then Tony Khan saw Chavo Guerrero on something at another promotion one day, and he was just looking at it. And it was like, that's it right there. We'll bring Chavo in, and he'll be with you. But then some things went on with Chavo where Chavo got called, and people don't really know this, but the rumors are, well, it's not a rumor, it's a fact. Chavo got called by NBC to do Young Rock with The Rock. It was The Rock sitcom show that I think season one, or maybe it was season two, they called him back.
I think it was season two.
Yeah, well, they called him back, yeah, and they wanted him to do the whole season. And it's like he told Tony Khan about it. Tony Khan said, okay, fine. We had you in the middle of a story right here. We were about to work you in with Andrade, but this is good for you. Do your thing, and you'll have a job waiting on you when you come back. That's what Chavo says, Tony said. And now Chavo was telling everyone that Tony is not answering his calls. He's not letting them know anything. And it doesn't seem like he has a place in AEW anymore. They've taken his name off of the
They did take his name off the online roster.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So, but some of those things is kind of tied in, I think, how Andrade just kind of got lost in the shuffle there, because whatever they were going to do with him, Chavo went back to NBC, which you can't blame him for that. I mean, that's NBC. You know, that's NBC money. And that's The Rock. You don't say no to The Rock. And but hey, Tony Khan is the one writing the checks. But the big thing is that it shouldn't be a major big deal, because Chavo has admitted that it was only like a 90-day contract anyway that they were working on here. That was the only time that they needed him with Andrade, I guess, and whatever he was gonna do, they were gonna do it. But I don't know. But to answer your question, yeah. But I just kind of had to throw in where I think they kind of dropped the ball at, and Chavo had something to do with that, and they could have just kept rolling with Vicky then. Tony, he kind of messed that up though. But Andrade should have just won the TNT title, to be honest with you, and then we can figure out what we're gonna do with him from there. He's a heel champion. Maybe he should have took it from Sammy that night in the triple threat. Because Darby's already won it. I would have been cool with Andrade winning it. Just give him something and go from there. They got to stop treating that TNT title, though, like just an open night challenge. You know, like,
I'm tired of that. Yeah, that's not. No, you got to. Hey, if you want to do an open night challenge title, then create a smaller title. But see, I put the TNT title in very high regards. And to me, that open night gimmick, to me, is not really a good look for a prestigious title. And I understand where they're coming from, because it's kind of the child of the old TV titles. Remember the old TV titles where you defended them on TV?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, nah, man, this title has a potential to be a lot bigger. It has a potential to be essentially the AEW's version of the 90s Intercontinental Championship. And that thing glittered, man. Like, if you had that belt, you were on your way.
Yeah, exactly.
I really wish they would treat it more like that as opposed to the TV title.
There you go. Well said. I like how you put that. That's exactly my thoughts. Exactly what you said. Yeah, that's exactly what they should do. But to move on with the matches, hey, look. That match was cool, but again, it had no story. So I just was like, okay, let's get it over with.
It was just a time filler.
That's it, pretty much. It was just a time filler, though. And the same thing for the tag team match. I can go ahead and tell you now, I don't really have much for it, because again, there was no story. Okay. It was a good match, though. The Bucks and Red Dragon did a good job in making it a 4-on-2, tag team title match for most of the match. And then they started to bump heads. Like, wait a minute now. Okay, like JR said, you didn't think this through. Somebody has to win, right? And now the Bucks are like, all right, forget this. You know, we're about to take our titles back. And in the end, Jurassic Express pulls through. And Lucha has some good moments in that match as well. But it was nothing to it, though. Like, they just squeezed them in and they figured out a way to put them on the card so everybody can sing the song. And they just had to throw them in there, but there was no story leading up to this. They didn't have a story with the Bucks or Red Dragon, you know? So it is what it is, but it was a good match, a good filler in. It was the second match of the night, and they retained the titles, though.
How do you feel about Jurassic Express as tag team champs?
I'm always going to be that fan to kind of just be quiet for a while, let them have their moment, let them have their moment.
No, man, that's why I'm asking the question.
right. Well, I don't think it should go on too long. I mean, because, like, as much as I like Jurassic Express, they just don't do it for me. You know, they just don't do it for me. Jungle Boy, I think Jungle Boy can and will be that it factor one day. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time for them, like, when they lose these titles, go ahead and separate them and let Jungle Boy do his solo act. You let Orange Cassidy do it. It's definitely time for Jungle Boy to do so then. At some point, yeah, thought that they were going to do that at one point, and then they kind of put them back together and they won a title. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, to me, it's not even Jurassic Express with Marco Stunt not being there. You know?
That's true. That's true. I don't know what happened.
And they just kind of slid Marco Stunt out the back door.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't resign him, point blank, pretty much.
Let me ask you this. I ask you this, and we'll move on to the next match. Who should beat them, and how should they lose? Now, I have an idea in my head, but I want to hear yours first.
Who should beat Jurassic Express? I would love for them to lose to the Acclaimed.
Right.
But I know that's probably not going to happen just yet. So I would say that the next tag team champions, wow, who should they be? I'm always going for the heels. So, I think they should lose to the Acclaimed. FTR's had their run. I know that they're about to get back in the mix of it, but they don't need to give them right back to them right now. And if it's not going to be the Bucks, there's so many tag teams that I want to see like they bring back and do more of. I mean, like Best Friends hadn't been really Best Friends in a while. Santana and Ortiz, that's it right there. Ortiz. There's so many damn tag teams, man. Yeah, it's their time.
But Jarvis, this is how I think it should happen. And maybe they're saving this for, you know, a rainy day.
Okay.
But we gotta get a Christian Cage heel turn.
Okay. I'm for that.
You get a Christian Cage heel turn, that can propel Jungle Boy into the singles act because he's gonna have a number of singles matches with Christian Cage. Christian Cage might win a couple of them with some old dirty tricks, and Jungle Boy finally overcomes them at a big show somewhere. And that's going to prepare Jungle Boy into, you know, bigger and better things. Maybe a TNT title run or something like that. But to me, it should definitely be those guys. And it should definitely come from a mistaken chair shot or a quote. I'm putting that in quotation because, of course, he's trying to hit him. Or just a flat-out heel turn. Hey, he walks in the ring and, he flattens Jungle Boy with a we used to call it an unprettier. What does he call it now? Kill switch.
The kill switch.
Plays him with a kill switch and puts Santana Ortiz on top of him, or, you know, why did he do that? You know, what is Christian doing?
Yeah, that would be great.
You know,
that would be great.
Yeah, man. Hey, I've always felt like that's what's going to happen, and maybe they're just trying to save it until it's time to crown new champions.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see that, man, and I think it'll be great for Jungle Boy to get into that feud with Christian.
Well, if they had done something with Santana and Ortiz the past few months, that could have happened last night, Terrence. Instead of giving us a three-way, tag team match with no story.
And you know what, Jarvis? The worst thing about that match was it wasn't even about the tag team title.
It really wasn't.
Getting the Young Bucks in the ring with Red Dragon. I've told you before, man, I'm tired of all these. I'm sorry. All right, if any real hardcore wrestling fans are listening to us, I'm catching the heat for this. But I'm tired of these little guys over here. We've got enough of these little super kick throwing guys. That's enough of them.
Yeah.
That's enough of them.
I mean, I'm with you, man. I mean, I'm not a fan of Adam Cole. I mean, I like the gimmick.
I'm not. And listen,
but
I know people call it Jarvis. I ain't body shaming you. Being a wrestler is your job.
Yeah.
That also means that showing your body is part of your job.
Yeah.
If you have to show your body, you have to take care of your body.
Yeah.
And that man ain't lifted a weight in 20 years.
I agree.
And I'm not saying you have to be Hulk Hogan or Brock Lesnar, or I'm not saying you have to be Bobby Lashley.
Oh, no.
I'm saying when I look at you, I should see that you take your body seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, you take
and
what you do.
Not.
Yeah, you take what you do seriously and how you look, your presence.
I mean, Sammy Guevara takes his body seriously.
There you go. There you go.
You can see that.
Not
he ain't
Adam,
no big
not,
muscular guy, but he takes care of his body.
Yeah, he does. Not Adam Cole.
And I respect that about Sammy Guevara. I respect that about anybody that does.
Yeah.
But it's apparent a lot of these guys. And listen, right now, and I hate to say this, even the Young Bucks to me are not taking care of them, and I understand that it's hard to, I don't understand, you know what I'm saying, because I've never done it. But being on the road, wrestling all the time, having to recuperate from the soreness of taking those bumps, you don't always get to be able to train like you would like to. Understandable. But, dog, it's part of the act. It's part of what you signed up to do. You got to take care of yourself.
Well, let's just call it a spade, or let me just say what I think it really is.
All right.
I think that all those years when people done that, you had a group of people that really gave a damn about their bodies. You had the Macho Mans and the Hogans and the Lex Lugers who were going to do what they did regardless.
And let's just be honest, a lot of those guys did what they did. They used things they shouldn't use.
And that's what I'm getting at. That's the point that I'm getting at right now, T. I think that in the end, if they still had to look a certain way, like Vince wanted them to look, and we know what they did and what they used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
which was the juice. Now that the testing is more, you know, strict than ever and things like that, nobody.
You make a good point. It's a lot harder to do now,
and I think some of the guys who never really gave a damn about that anyway, they would have only done it just because, hey, I have to. I think now they're just like, screw it. We don't have to. You know, I mean, like, they still need us regardless. You know, they're not going to find 20 or 30 other guys to fill the roster that look like Chris Masters, you know, in 2003. Right. But at the same time, hey, they need wrestlers, though, and we are technicians. We are skilled. And not taking away from any of those guys, but, I mean.
No, they're all great. They are good wrestlers.
Yeah, but I agree with you about their appearance, though. Yes, I would like to see. I mean, Daniel Bryan takes care of his body.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And in awesome shape.
Yes. Hell yeah. So, yeah, man, these guys, I'm with you on that. They need to do better, man. But I think that that's some of the reason, though. They don't have to. So, screw it. They still need us, you know. There's not a bunch of guys walking around here like the Bobby Lashley's like that anymore. It just isn't. So, only people that give a damn about it like Bobby Lashley.
You can only have so many of those guys. And listen. Those guys, people can accuse them of juicing all day long. You still have to have the genetics to be that height, that size, have that kind of symmetry. A lot of that is more God given than it is a needle. And I'm not accusing Bobby Lashley of any of that. What I'm saying is, guys that size typically get a bad rep for saying, you know, they juice. I'm not really concerned with the really big guys because, you know, like. They've got a reward low, and they've got who else is over there that size?
Well, they used to have Brian
Jurassic, like the big dinosaur dude.
Luchasaurus. Yeah.
You know, well, that's genetics, man. Those guys are huge, God-given size, strength, symmetry. But what all I'm saying is that there's some of those guys out there that you know, they wake up, eat a bowl of fruit of pebbles, and they don't even care about fitness at all. And that's fine, but I just don't like it.
I agree, and I don't like it either. You're right. But people like Will Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs, have you seen him lately? I mean, like, he's done what a lot of people are saying or whispering that Keith Lee should probably do, and it's lose some weight because he did look pretty big last night. But, man, Hobbs has kind of toned it up a little bit. He's leaned up a little bit, and he's still big and still a beast. The Butcher. I don't know if anybody paid attention to the Butcher.
He's gotten leaned out, man.
Yeah, so some of these guys, you know, like Moxley has leaned out, but Moxley is kind of like Adam Cole. He ain't lifting anything, though, these days, is
no,
he? You
no.
know, so it's like you can tell, like you just said, they don't care about these things, but when they were forced to, they did it. Vince cared about their presence, you know, I mean, their appearance. So, now that Tony Khan is going to have to – I guess he's going to have to put his foot down and kind of, hey, man, you guys need to do better. You know, I need you guys to look like this. I'm not saying go to the juice, but you can do better than this. And I think that if you think about it, Shawn Michaels, you know, he used to be in pretty good shape, you know. But, hey,
In fairness, Shawn Michaels did get busted for roids, I think, in the early 90s. So, in fairness, but Shawn Michaels always took care of his body. Shawn Michaels takes care of his body right today.
No. I agree with you. What I was going to say was I know exactly what he was doing. And the point that I was going to make was that, hey, as soon as the testing got a little bit more strict, he just lost it. Like, forget it. I don't care no more. He didn't lift the barbell anymore, man. He probably played around with the 20 with the 20 pounds or something, but he just let himself go. He put on great matches. Right. WrestleMania 25, great match. But that wasn't the same Shawn Michaels that I saw in WrestleMania 14. And WrestleMania 12. That's not the same Shawn Michaels. He's not lifting anything because he can't juice anymore. Like, damn, that's the only thing y'all are. So, I mean, this is what happened, and I think this is exactly what we're seeing now with this generation. But yeah, shout out to Hobbs and the Butcher, man, because those big guys are showing you, hey, we can do it. Keith Lee, I think he needs to tone it down just a little bit. I mean, there was a few things where I saw that could have been some botches because he was, I think it was Wednesday night, he was trying to get over the rope. I mean, Friday night, he was going to try to jump over the rope or something like that. And he's a little too big to do it. I mean, they say he's bigger now than he was when he was in WWE months ago, the last time you had saw him. So I think he should come down a little bit. Speaking of that, though, I'm pretty sure you're going to ask me about that match, or at least it's coming up. I know the match that those
big men absolutely, were. Yeah. The Keith Lee versus Orange Cassidy, Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks took a really nasty bump on a ladder. Seems like he's okay, but man, that did, especially for somebody who's already had a bad neck.
Yeah.
That looked pretty bad. Wardlow, Christian Cage, in the face of the Revolution ladder match.
Yeah.
Wardlow picked up the victory and then, of course, turned on MJF later in the show. But just what you think about that match, man? I saw that bump from Ricky Starks, and it looked really bad.
Yeah. It was a little nasty foul, but I was more worried for Sammy Guevara in their match, which I forgot to mention. His crazy ass, you know, sent who was that? Isaiah, the Private Party, off the stage, and they went down to the table. I mean, it looked kind of scary though, for Sammy Guevara, but they seem to be okay though. But man, that guy's there. He's really good. And his future is really bright in AEW. At least I hope. At least I hope he can stay around in AEW. But when you're that good, man, the money's gonna WWE's gonna come try to. They're gonna try to pull some of these people out. I know it's coming. But I know that's a part of the plan. That's why he's still letting everybody go. But back to that match. What we were talking about that match again? I'm gonna say that it was a good match. It was a good match. And I'm glad that Wardlow won. Shout out to Wardlow. Wardlow's been doing a good job. They're really pushing him. They're putting him over.
And the push is coming at the right time.
It's coming at the right time. So I have no issue with what happened on that night. I would have loved to see Hobbs win or Keith Lee since he just got there. I thought that would have been good. But I don't know what they're going to do with Keith Lee. I'm pretty sure they're probably going to put him in a feud with Hobbs or Ricky Starks or both. Or whatever, but I have no problem with Wardlow winning. I knew he was gonna, you know, make the face turn as well. But here's the problem that I do have with the face of the Revolution match. All right, this better be the last time this happens. I already know how it's gonna happen. What's gonna happen? Wardlow is going to really get his push. He's probably about to be the TNT champion very soon. And if that's the case, then that means it doesn't matter who wins between Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky on Wednesday on Dynamite for the TNT title. If Wardlow's just going to snatch it away. So Scorpio, if they don't have any plans on Scorpio holding the title for a while, then I'd rather him not win. But if Wardlow gets this title fairly quickly, then my beef is with Tony Khan for letting Scorpio Sky win that Face of the Revolution last year at last year's Revolution and hasn't done a damn thing since he won it. You brought in Ethan Page and you screwed all of that up by letting them run around with Dan Lambert and demand things, and they hadn't won anything yet. Yes, Scorpio Sky's won a lot of matches in a row on Dark and Elevation, but he's not on TV enough. And when he is, he's with Dan Lambert and Ethan Page and they're just talking, and he's going to get a TNT title shot on Wednesday. Like, I think this may be his second shot since he's won the Revolution. The face of Revolution last year, but they literally done nothing with him. If you're the face of the Revolution, he should have had a great 2021 year, and he did not. And now it's time for Wardlow to have a great 22 year, and he probably will, but you didn't do that with Sky. Scorpio has to win this title, and he needs to hold it for a while. I don't know what they'll do with Wardlow. I don't know. Let MJF screw him over or something, and he loses the title, and then they feud. I don't know. But Wardlow doesn't need to win this title just yet because, hell, Scott never even got to get his shine. And I got a problem with that. But, again, I'm not tripping about Wardlow. I like him. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good guy, too. Some of the things and the comments that he's made, he's very grateful. And I think he's going to be pretty loyal to AEW. He has a lot of good things to say about what they do backstage and, you know, just how they set up and Tony Khan and just a good work environment. So, hey, I'm cool with that. I just had to just, you know, I had to state that because it's like, come on, y'all. You didn't do much with Sky. And this was some of the reason why Big Swole was like, hey, I got
to
get on
that. I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, but look at Jade, though. She's the champ and all of that. I get it. But, hey, we know Swole isn't Jade, though. I mean, Jade is the champion because of, look at her. That's the reason why she's the champion. They're still working with her. She's getting better with time. But she's the champion because of her physique. She is she's a goddess.
She's money.
She's money.
As she says, she's money.
As she says. That's correct. But yeah, but moving on, I just wanted to say that. But congratulations to Wardlow. I know they're gonna push him, but yep. Shame on you, Tony Khan, for not doing the same last year with Scorpio Sky.
I agree, and I feel like Tony Khan knows that, and that's why he's trying to throw Scorpio Sky to get his shot real fast so that people don't complain about it.
Yeah.
But when you backtrack like that and try to cover your steps, a lot of times you make it worse, and you leave them cookie crumbs on the, you know what I'm saying, on the way to the damn heist you're about to pull.
Yeah.
And it becomes very obvious.
And he better not win this thing. He better not. Because what could happen here is that he could be the champion for like a week and then lose it immediately because.
And then you know what? And if I'm Scorpio Sky, I'm pissed.
Man, what?
And what they should have done was, if they really wanted to improvise, hey, go on and give Wardlow his shot. But then Scorpio Sky comes out and just has a Bret Hart type promo where he's, you know, frustrated ain't the goddamn word, you know.
Yeah.
Because he never got his shot. And to me, that's good TV.
Yeah.
And Scorpio Sky, to me, deserves to be a part of some good TV. Not a damn consolation title match because we got lost in the shuffle and never gave you a title match. Like, to me, that's just bogus.
And it's not like he's not good in the ring or on the mic.
He's great on both.
Yeah.
He does not need Dan Lambert. He does not need Ethan Page. He doesn't need to be Ethan Page's sidekick.
No, he doesn't. And Ethan Page came in. He was supposed to be Scorpio Sky's sidekick, and that completely shifted, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, nah, man. I'm not a fan of that arrangement. And I don't think either one of us have been a fan of it from the jump. But I'm glad Scorpio Sky is going to be on my TV and going to be wrestling in a singles match.
Yeah,
That Wednesday for the TNT title.
That is correct. Dynamite.
But I'm sad that he's been lost in the shuffle for pretty much a year.
Yeah.
And you and I have been very vocal. And they signed this guy, signed that guy, took this guy, signed that guy, brought in this guy from this company, and Scorpio Sky was just. Hey, just sitting back,
not doing
the thing, and it was so irritating to me.
And these were the things that you spoke on a year ago on how you know if Tony Khan keeps signing all of this talent, it's gonna be a problem at some point. Maybe a good problem,
and every time somebody's a free agent, the hardcore wrestling fans, they want Cesaro, they want Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
who hasn't signed any damn where yet, man? It's bizarre.
He's doing movies. He's doing movies.
That's the right place for him. That's the right place for him.
That's exactly what he's doing as of now. Yeah, he's doing a movie.
But you can't sign all these guys and still take care of the guys that's been there for you.
Right.
And to me, Scorpio Sky is a guy you can't afford to lose, so you need to take care of him.
Yeah, I hope they have something in plan for him. It has to be something in store to make him want to resign because I think Scorpio Sky was getting some buzz from WWE and other promotions, but they locked him back in for another couple of years. I don't know if it was a couple of years or not, but he definitely got re-signed. They even kind of announced that though. So I don't know, man. I hope it was worth his while, and I hope that he does have a title run here at some point because not only should he be a TNT champion, he should be making his way for an AEW championship at some point.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
What else we got, T?
All right, man. Hey, big payoff here. Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. And I also want to congratulate Chris Jericho for completely transforming his body in a very short amount of time. It wasn't that long ago that the internet was kind of clowning Chris Jericho for his gut. But Chris Jericho, hey, he's a world-class athlete. He's been doing this a very long time, so... Got himself looking back great. Had a great match with Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston got the victory. And what a lot of people are saying, he finally won the big one. Just what do you think about that match as a whole, and just the payoff more so than anything else, because that's really what that was about, getting Eddie Kingston his moment.
They gave Eddie Kingston his moment. It was a good moment. I liked it. It was a great match. I was surprised. I was impressed, and I guess the reason why the match was so good to me is because I didn't expect much. I saw them come out. I thought immediately, oh great, they're gonna give us this match first. Let us get this little boring stuff out the way, and we can move on with the show. But it was surprisingly good, and hey, it's always good when something turns out to be better than what you expected, and that's exactly what it was. They didn't take up too much time. I think it did go into 20 minutes, but hey, it was good. Jericho in the end did not go by his word. He did not stand on his word by saying he would shake his hand if he beat him, and he just couldn't do it, and he split. So it was a good ending. I guess that story has come to an end, but yes, I would agree with you, Doty. It definitely was a big payoff, and the match was surprisingly good. So I have no problem with it. I will give it actually A-, because it was surprisingly good. And again, yes, I agree with everything you said about Jericho. He definitely snapped back. Looks great, a lot better from what he did. And it was a good match.
Where would you like to see Jericho go from here? I am amongst the crowd of saying that I am ready for Jericho to be a full-time announcer because he's so good at it. He can still have the occasional match for the big show, you know, big event. Hey, put Jericho on the card. But I am ready to see Jericho step into that kind of that Jerry Lawler role. And, you know, it's funny because I've always compared those two for some reason. I don't know why, but they always seem similar to me. Maybe in the mic skills and the way that they're so quick and witty on the mic. But Jericho's been wrestling a very long time, and I am ready to see him in that Jerry Lawler role.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all, and that may not be a bad comparison. If JR, whenever he steps down, and I really didn't know if he was going to make it back, and he did though. I'm glad he was healthy enough to make it back, but that's not the reason why I thought he was, you know, not going to be back. But anyway, I guess it would have to come down to whenever he steps down. Now I know on Rampage he gets to do Rampage with Taz and Excalibur, but I wouldn't have a problem with him, you know, going straight to the commentary booth full time. I wouldn't have a problem with him managing Santana and Ortiz, maybe, or maybe him being a general manager on one of the shows. And since William Regal showed up, which we haven't tapped into yet, maybe he could be the general manager on the other brand, the Ring of Honor brand. I don't know. Yeah. But it is time for him to stop wrestling. However, if I know Chris Jericho and he still gets the pop he gets with the fans singing his song to his entrance of Judas
every night,
I just don't see him cutting it out just yet. He just can't help himself. He loves it. I don't know, because I mean, unless they're going to play it before he walks to the commentary booth every night, I don't know, but I mean, every week. But other than that, as long as they're doing that, he's going to find something to get into. And I don't even know if they're done with this angle just yet. I mean, we still have to see what they're going to do with him instead of Tanner and Ortiz.
I think it's something that they can always go back to. You know, we'll probably get at least one or two more matches out of it. Maybe Jericho will come back and win one, and then they'll have a rubber match or something like that. But I don't see this being the end of those two guys at all, man. I just don't see it ending like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see what they do with Inner Circle from here on out. What happens with them? Do they all split up? I know Sammy's pretty much went his separate way. He's a TNT champion. Kudos to him. Santana and Ortiz should be next as far as the tag team champs go. But maybe Jericho should be managing Jake Hager if he's going to continue to wrestle.
That's perfect. No, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, if they're going to do anything with him, yeah, I would say that this is what he should use. He needs to be, I'm not trying to call him Zeb Coulter or anything like that, but whatever his name was. But he needs to be what old Dutch Mantel was with Jack Swagger. That's exactly what he may need to do to help him out, cheat, get him some wins. And let's see more of him on TV if he is ready. But a lot of fans.
And that's a perfect situation, because they could also run an angle where, you know, with Jack Swagger is coming out for his Jake Hager, coming out for his Bellator match, hey, Jericho's in that entourage somewhere. You know, he's pretending to be in his corner. I'm sure Jericho ain't doesn't know much about MMA or coaching through an actual fight. But just to have him in, have him out there with an AEW shirt on would do wonders for them and their global marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Let me quit giving them ideas because I'm sick of this. And you know where I'm going with it.
I already know. I know. So we'll stop there then. You're right. But another good idea, though. And, hey, we've seen quite a few things happen that it's almost like, wow, that's exactly what we said, you know, they should do. Regardless of whatever sport that we talk about here on the Great Debate Show, it does kind of end up, you know, coming into fruition. All right, so we've run through most of the Revolution night. We just got a few more.
We just have a few more matches. So I think this is going to be a very interesting one for different reasons. Jade Cargill defending her TBS championship versus Tay Conti.
Okay.
Jade's entrance was very interesting. She came out looking like Jade, but Jade from Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
And looking as amazing as ever. But before we saw Jade looking like Jade, we heard some amazing, amazing music from Kingfish from Mississippi.
Yeah.
And it's funny because once I saw him, I automatically knew who he was. And I was like, Mississippi. And I retweeted it, Mississippi and all caps, because damn it, the world needed to know that man's from Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of great celebrities and people and artists and just a lot of talent comes out of Mississippi. Some people just don't like to talk about it anymore.
So many of them end up like moving to Memphis and Memphis tries to take them. So before they try to take Kingfish, I wanted to make sure that the world knew that man's from Mississippi.
Yeah. And it's not so much of them taking them. They don't like to they don't like to mention that they're from Mississippi anymore. A lot of them. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, like yeah. You know,
I mean, hey, I understand that though. You know, Mississippi in history is, you know, it's a rough spot.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're from where you're from. You know,
it is what it is. I mean, I'm from here, and they need to know.
Yeah, there you go. And he is from Mississippi, Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Yeah, Kingfish was playing the hell out of that guitar. I thought,
oh my goodness,
I thought,
it sounded so good.
I was like, man, is that BB King? What the hell is that? It was great. It was great. I mean, like, I've listened to it a few times already. That's how good it was. It was a good entrance. I'm glad that Jade Cargill had her moment. I'm just glad to see her on a pay-per-view and as a champion and to retain it on the pay-per-view and walk out still as the champion. The match, you know, hey, it was okay. I'm not going to, you know, just say, you know, overreact or say it was just, oh, man, it was one of the greatest matches in the – What I don't like is I think that they're making these matches too long for Jade. Not saying that we don't need to see Jade, but I would like to see, like, when Goldberg did his thing, if this is Goldberg 2.0, she needs to just be crushing some of these people. And I think that I know you're trying to tell me it's a pay-per-view and Tay Conti is probably the best competition she's had so far, but no, not really. Jade should have crushed her. It shouldn't have took that long, and let's get this thing moving. Actually, if you want to be real, I would even go as far as to say, and I like what they're doing with Serena Deeb. I do. But that five-minute professor thing that she's doing, that's actually what Jade should be doing. Like, just crushing everybody, and it's like a five-minute challenge. Like, man, I beat this bitch ass in 1 minute. You know, she's always throwing the B-word around, and she's so good at it. Very, you know, she's full of charisma, full of confidence. I love everything about her with that. She's cutting a few promos a little bit more. She's starting to get into it. Pretty soon, she won't need Smart Mark anymore, and that'll be great as well.
They've already planted the seeds for that.
Yeah, and I'm ready for it. But, I mean, like, I think that she could be doing what Professor Deeb is doing right now, even though I love what she's doing. And shout out to Sheeta, who finally came back and whooped her ass with the stick on Dynamite on Wednesday. Good to see her back because she's been in the fold just waiting, too. And now, finally, they're bringing that back into the fold. I wish they could stretch that into All Out, but probably not. But anyway,
it's a long ways away.
Yeah, I know, and that's why that's got to change, I think, at some point here. But yeah, look, it was a decent match. I will give it a B+. And Jay won the thing, and I'm glad that she won. But I just think that from here on out, they shouldn't let these matches be so long, especially when it's on, you know, Dynamite or Rampage. Just get it over with. Let her cut a promo after the match or something like that. And just until we find the right person and where we say, okay, this is who they're gonna, you know, they're gonna take it from. And I don't know who that could be just yet. They may not even be in AEW.
I'm gonna tell you the problem I have with this, but I'm gonna wait a few minutes before I tell you, and you'll see where I'm going with it.
Okay.
But there is a problem that they're gonna have really soon, and I feel you're gonna tell me what the problem is, and you don't even know it. I guarantee you.
Okay.
But we'll move on to the next match. This one had a very good surprise in it, but John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson. I'm still struggling calling him Bryan Danielson, even though I know that's his real name.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there at some point. I want to call him Daniel Bryan so bad.
Yeah.
But Bryan Danielson, two ex-WWE guys, two ex-WWE champs squaring off for the sake of just literally a gentleman's agreement. Like, hey, you know, that's team. I'll team with you, right? But let's, you know, I got to beat your ass first.
Yeah.
That's John Moxley.
Yeah.
And I think what was his words? I don't team with anybody before if I don't bleed with him first.
Got to bleed. Like got to bleed with him first. Yep.
Man, John Moxley is some kind of damn Viking or something reincarnated, man. It was a little different. And I don't feel like, if I'm wrong, correct me, but I don't feel like that's a character. I feel like that's literally how he is.
What, the unscripted violence?
Yeah, I feel like that's just him. I don't feel like that's a character.
It very well may be. It probably, I think it might have been what he was drinking before he came out to the ring, which is why he went to AA. That might have been more of what it was, but I don't know, man. You know, that guy
looking like a clone.
Yeah, right. Because he definitely came back pretty lean, man. No doubt about that. But he needs to lift something too, man. He hadn't lifted anything and since he left WWE, man. And
you know, I've seen that brother up close. There was a they were doing a Monday Night Raw one time, and you know, he used to always come to the LA Fitness gyms before they would do the show. But this was one Sunday, him and Roman and R-Truth popped into an LA Fitness, and I just so happened to be there with my brother the same day. And
I saw them in there before too.
Yeah, Moxley is surprisingly has a very big frame.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got one of those physiques that if he actually like lifted and lifted all the time, he would look really good.
Okay.
But you know, hey, I understand that, you know, lifting weights ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that he's at least taking care of himself now. Like it's obvious he's taking care of himself. He wasn't a few months ago.
Yeah, well, he definitely looks like he's doing that. Yeah, that's for certain.
Yeah, he's taking care of himself. And now it's like lifting weights ain't for everybody. And
right.
Depending on what you do athletically, you know, lifting weights might not even be the best thing for you.
Right.
But if he did, with his size, I want to say Mox is like 6'3"-ish.
Yeah, 6'3" or 6'4".
TV, he might be 6'4", Jarvis, because TV doesn't do him justice.
Right, yeah, okay.
I was shocked at how tall Moxley is.
Okay.
And, a good weight training program, man, would really transform his body. He would look really good.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm happy that he's taking care of himself, and it's obvious.
Right. Well, as far as the match, T, it was cool. They just, you know, had a slugfest. We're gonna beat each other's ass, and I'm gonna show you how good we could do when we fight together. If that's what's gonna happen, and then out of nowhere, they're all bloody and everything, and the match has come to an end, and they're about to go at it again, and then William Regal surprisingly shows up in AEW. That was probably the biggest shock for me because that is the one thing that I wasn't expecting. Swerve Strickland, on the other hand, it was already kind of rumored that he was going to make an appearance or he was going to show up in some kind of way. They didn't. We were looking for to see, was he going to attack somebody? Who was he going to feud with immediately? But no, they didn't do it like that. They just showed up. Hey, we're going to show up. We've signed you, Tony Schiavone. Talked to him for a few minutes, and yeah, he signed the contract, and that was pretty much it. But he did show up. But that wasn't a surprise. William Regal was a surprise, and he slaps the pure hell, out of both men, as if we're doing some kind of coach to his, you know, little football players or his men or something, like snap out of it, guys, and they actually do nothing but take it like a man. Is even though Moxley looked like he wanted to, you know, go ahead and punch his lights out, but he didn't. Out of a lot of respect, I guess. I don't know, did he train both of these guys or what? I don't know, but He showed up.
He had a lot of influence on both of them. I think Daniel Bryan credited him as saying he wouldn't be where he is without him.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of influence with a lot of those guys that came through NXT. William Regal has a lot of influence with him.
Okay. Well, they definitely showed that last night, and that was the surprise of the night for me by him showing up, and he made them shake hands. I guess I forgot to leave out the part that Moxley did win the match. That was no surprise to me. I knew he pretty much had to kind of win that one. Not really hurting Daniel Bryan to lose some of these matches that he has lost to.
No, it's not hurting him at all, man.
Yeah.
This whole going undefeated thing, and, you know, at some point you have to keep in mind that you can't win everything, and everything can end in a terrible way. Now, this one match, they could have ended in like a double DQ or something like that and let them fight it out, and Riggle comes out and puts it together. That would have been okay, but I'm glad to see Moxley get a big win in, because Daniel Bryan has, to me, in a short span, he's kind of warm enough, right? Like, he would come on every week and beat up this person and that person and tap him out to and pose while he's tapping out.
Yeah.
He finally started coming out of the heel side, too, which is interesting. Because I think he was kind of neglecting, like, or pretending he wasn't a heel, which clearly, you choke somebody out while you, like, posing your biceps, bro, you're a heel. Like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But he's done enough, man. He's gotten his point across. He's a bad dude. He's a well-trained dude. He's worn enough, and it was good for Moxley to get that W.
Yeah, I agree. Even though I've never been a big fan of Moxley, and I'm still not, but I agree. He needed to win that one definitely way more than Danielson. And they got the win. I will give that match a B-, just because I'm just not into those type of matches. And again, it is kind of a story. We're going to see them do something that I am really not.
What do you think they're going to do with those guys, man? Because my thing is, they don't need another major tag team.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not interested in it because all I see what's about to happen, instead of them giving it to the Acclaimed or Santana and Ortiz, they're going to make this another Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page tag team thing again.
Yep.
Like, no, championship, I mean. Like, no, stop that, because I didn't agree with it then. Hangman and Kenny Omega should have been in single matches, but I understood what they were just trying to buy time while Jericho and Moxley were champions. I get it. But look, damn it, no. Moxley needs to be trying to get back to the AEW championship. I can't believe I'm saying that, but he does. And same thing for Bryan Danielson, if that's what he's going to go for. And that's it, point blank. That doesn't need to be, we got enough tag teams. We got enough real tag teams. Don't put together two singles, you know, who should be singles. I don't agree with it, but I think that's where they're going. Tony Khan has also said that when Kenny Omega returns, they probably are going to do the trio championship. They're going to come out with that. I've been hearing fans going crazy about it, and he's going to deliver. I know people want that. It's beyond me. I mean, that's just too much. Too much clutter in the damn ring.
And
they're going to make championships out of it. So that's just going to be a six-man tag every damn week, every damn show. And I'm going to go crazy. But, hey, whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Terrence. I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. I'm sure we think we both know where they're going with it, and I'm not cool with it. But, yeah, it is what it is. I think they do this just because they can't figure out what they're going to do with these guys. Wow.
So they got to get them on TV some kind of a way, and sometimes the easiest way is to put two guys in a tag team, and you kill two birds in one stone until you know, like you said, you buy time until that championship slot opens up or – some other big payoff opens up. But I'm not a big fan of it, mainly because I would like to see those two guys as a team, in a sense. It kind of gives me the sense of like Brothers of Destruction kind of thing, where these two major forces, mega powers even, come together and they're totally unstoppable. But that typically means they get a run at a tag team championship, and it's going to push the Claimed or Private Party back down the line even further, and that's not what I want to see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my whole point there, too. That's what happened last year, the first year of AEW, when you had Paige and Omega as champions. That shouldn't have happened. As tag team champions, you push the real tag teams that further down the line, and that's what's going to happen again if they do that, and, yeah, I'm not for it.
Next matchup is one that you stated was probably the I don't know if you said it, but I think a lot of people are saying it was one of the best ones on the card, if not the best one on the card. CM Punk versus MJF in the dog collar match. These two guys have had a very, very lengthy war of words. I think that they've had, a couple of matches? Apparently MJF beat him twice in Chicago, and MJF will never let you hear the end of that.
Right.
By the way, MJF is absolutely amazing. So, you know, no shade to him at all.
He is.
But CM Punk got the W in this match and got a little bit of an assist from Wardlow. This match apparently had a lot of everything, thumbtacks, blood. I think every AEW match has blood, so we just, you know, that's just regular.
Not every match. Come on, man.
A lot of them. Well, what did you think of the match, man, the victory for CM Punk? And honestly, the question I have is, where do both of them go from here?
Well, you know, first I just want to say, you know, TK always just has to remind you WWE fans that, hey, we're not PG. So that's why the blood always comes out. But look, I don't know, man. Look, this match was good. The story was even better. I loved it. I knew that Punk had to win this one, though. He kind of did, but he didn't necessarily have to. But yeah, if Punk is going to make a run here and they're going to do better with his booking, which some people have questioned how well has AEW handled his booking. I thought they did very good, though, with the MJF one. I thought Eddie Kingston was good as well. It's just that, you know, they didn't have a lot of time for that one, and I think that could have got more juice, but they ran into the pay-per-view and, okay, we got to do it. Okay, so, but fast forward, I guess that's a dog collar match for you, but in the end, yes, it was a good match. MJF being incredible as always, teasing the fans by coming out to CM Punk's music first, and then, well, he thought it, we thought it was CM Punk, and then it was MJF, and the music changed, right. And you know, and man, Excalibur, he is probably the best right now. I thought Josh Matthews was real underrated at his commentary and Impact during his run there, and I saw that coming in his early years in WWE. But man, Excalibur is really good. And it's really funny.
I love,
man.
Excalibur.
Yeah.
I love Excalibur might be their best commentator.
He is. I think it's hands down because, look, those guys are older. Tony Schiavone has his spots where he's still pretty good. But JR is just, see, if you get anything out of him that kind of reminds you of the old days, then you got to just say it was a good night, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. But, yeah, Excalibur, he was just very funny. And it was when he came out, it was like, that asshole, you know, because it was like, that's him. And then the Don Callis moment, which I forgot to talk about on the buy-in, Don Callis showed up, but it was Kenny Omega's music. And everybody thought, oh, he's here, he's back. Because Omega is about to make his return, thank God. But man, it was Don Callis, and it was so refreshing to see him. And he came out and he cut another good promo as always. And he's good for TV. And I was glad to see him back.
Don Callis is so good. Absolutely.
Yes, he is. And he badmouthed the crowd and everything. And as he was talking, Excalibur was just so good during that moment. Like immediately when he hit the curtain and you saw it wasn't Omega, you know, I mean, he was just like, that son of a bitch, what is he doing here? I mean, it was just like, it was good, man. And I mean, while Tony was trying to talk, he wouldn't let Tony talk. And so Excalibur was just like jumping off subject. Back to the match. It was a good match. And I don't know. I guess that was the end. Another big payoff with MJF and CM Punk. And the interesting part of the night was Wardlow finally going babyface by coming out and, you know, made like he couldn't figure out where the ring was. And, you know, it just told MJF to just keep going. I'll get it. I got it here somewhere. By the time he finally gets the ring out, they're kind of laid out. And he just sits it on the apron to say, hey, and I ain't giving it to you, but I ain't going to stop you if you try to get it. And so that's the way they done it. I thought it was real smooth, real slick with it. And Wardlow, man, we've already talked about how good he is and how much we like him. The facial expression, the body language, everything he's done in this MJF feud or whatever you want to call
it. It's been perfect.
From him. It almost kind of felt like that WrestleMania with Triple H and maybe Jericho, or was it Triple H or Benoit? I forgot who it was, but it wasn't as good, and it was the main event, but it was the night that Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had just killed it. No, 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 I'm wrong. Not that. It was Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels? It was somebody, but they killed it. And Triple H and whoever it was. No, it was Triple H and Randy Orton, and I was right. It was the night Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had that WrestleMania 25 night.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like that, T, if I'm making any sense. Triple H has came out plenty of times in documentaries and said that we just couldn't top it. I mean, they did this, they did that, and, you know, me and Randy, we were just like, you know, just, you know, we got to do something. But it just wasn't anything they could do. They couldn't top that. And but it was the main event. What could you do? And same thing here. Right. It was a great night full of a lot of things. And by the time we got to the main event, and it mattered the most because it was the AEW World Championship. But I don't know if anybody really thought Adam Cole would win. But if you looked at the match, if you watched it, it was like, wait a minute now. They actually may put Adam Cole over here in this thing. So even though Adam Cole lost, I don't think this hurts him at all because it was his first time actually getting pinned since he's been in AEW. So how did that hurt him? It didn't. And Hangman Adam Page continues to be and Hangman continues to be the champion as he should be for now. But I know Kenny Omega is on his way back because Don Callis has already kind of put that out there, you know, with
teasing
a couple of
it a little bit.
Oh yeah, teasing it a little bit. And with Hangman winning, that may happen again. I'm not sure. But it was something interesting. They may be going with this, with the story with Adam Cole and the Elite. And remember what Red Dragon, and they kind of want to see an eye to eye with the Bucks. And a lot of things are still kind of going on. Omega is either going to bring them all back full circle and the Elite will be the clique again, or it's all going to blow up. Because Don Callis said that he has faith in the Bucks winning the championships tonight, which they didn't. he also said that he had faith in Adam Cole winning the AEW World Championship, but he said that he would be a transitional champion once Kenny comes back and hits the door. That's something that Adam Cole could be talking about or bringing back up on Wednesday on Dynamite if Don Callis shows up in the building or whenever Kenny shows back up. That could be something they may do to split these guys up and the Elite is no longer the Elite. I don't want to see Omega and Cole, but I don't know. They could do something like that, but Omega would really just kick his ass. But it would really have to take a lot of putting over for Omega to do. But they're all buddies, so that Bullet Club, you know. I just don't want those guys to run this thing down like NWO. I don't want them to or DX, you know, like.
Right.
I just don't want them to just get carried away with it, and it messes up the booking just because they want to all work together and they want to do these spots together and they want to have these matches. And no, let's not do what it takes just to fill the card or just to get you all some TV time. There's a lot of people in the back who needs this time, and they are young and they're talented. And, you know, and I'm sorry, they're better than Adam Cole and some of these guys that we're seeing. I don't give a damn about Bobby Fish.
I don't either.
Now, the other guy with him, he's all right. Red Dragon, the other guy, he's pretty good, but he's still one of those little guys that just, like we said, I mean, they're not lifting anything. I like Garcia. He's okay, but, like, I mean, come on, man. Until we get some kind of cruiserweight title or something like that, I can't take any of these guys serious, and it really means nothing to me. They need to give them some kind of championship on their own. And if that's what the TNT title will be, then do that, and we need another title then for these guys so it can be more intercontinental versus TV title.
Right.
You know, like we were talking about, T. But that's it for me. It was a good show overall. It was a good ending. Hangman still won clean. He got a clean win, though, even though there was some interference with Dark Order and, you know, the clique, I mean, the Elite. But it was a good night, I think, all in all. Some good matches. Yeah.
Before we totally wrap it up, let's not forget about Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa.
Oh, yeah, God. We did forget about that, didn't we?
We almost skipped over it, and I got something to say.
I guess
But I want to give you the floor first. Just what you think about the match and Britt Baker retaining.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, it says something that we actually forgot about it. I guess that says something there.
Right. But John, what was the actual build to this match? And I know, you know, they've had a few moments where they like attacked her in the ring. I think Thunder Rosa had matches against some of Britt Baker's like entourage. And
well, here was the build.
I just didn't get it.
Here was the build to you, if that's what you want to call it. And I think that this has a lot to do with Britt Baker's career in dentistry and all of that, which is another reason why she shouldn't have retained his title. All right. As much as I've talked about Britt Baker, and as much as I've, you know, really said that Britt Baker is the shit in AEW, you know, I've kind of pushed back on that a little bit lately here because she just wasn't a good champion. She didn't wrestle as much as a champion. She had a few injuries that they tried to hide and not talk about, a few things that they wanted to disclose. She had a wrist injury during a match with Nyla Rose some months back, and they let her compete a few weeks later. But, I mean, like, she still got the title ring lasted too long, and a lot of the time that it was going on, she really couldn't compete. And then when she could, they were backed into a situation where they couldn't find a time for her because they had so many other stories going on with adding, you know, the people like CM Punk's and the Bryan Danielsons and all of those people. It was just it was hard for her to get TV time. And with all that being said, this is Jade still being on TV every 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. You know,
you're making my point for me.
So with all that being said, man, look, she should have lost last night. I have a problem with this because it now seems to confirm the rumors of Tony Khan and Britt Baker's relationship, their friendship. It is getting out of hand here now. You can't be buddy-buddy. You can be buddy-buddy with her all you want, but she has to understand she's not going to get her way all the time. Unless she has some kind of creative control in her contract, which I doubt, she shouldn't have won this. It was Thunder Rosa's time. Now, I will say that I think the one reason why Thunder Rosa didn't win is because there were rumors before Revolution that she suffered a knee injury during the match they had on Dynamite on Wednesday. And but they thought that she would be fine enough to still work the match and get through it. But that told me that they're just going to get through this match because they've kind of built it up and people want to see it because of the first match that they had, which was way better than what it was last night. They just said, well, the hell, we're going to have to run with it. They didn't want to make any – they wanted to keep it, play it safe. And they didn't make any changes. However, I knew she wasn't going to win if that injury rumor was true, because how is she going to have a title run being injured? Well, hell, I guess she has to be Britt Baker, because she did do that throughout her title reign a little bit earlier in her title reign. I know people don't want to admit it, but it is what it is. I'm going to call a spade a spade. She shouldn't have won that title. I mean, she shouldn't have retained. Thunder Rosa should have done it, but I think the reason why – I think it was meant for Thunder Rosa to do it, but I think the injury is why they didn't do that. Maybe she's going to have some time out. I'm not sure. But to answer your question real quick, T, about the buildup, there really wasn't one. The only thing I can say is that they did bring it back to where it looked like they kind of planted seeds with Jade and Thunder Rosa when they fought in the tournament. And – what's her name? Mercedes Martinez showed up for the very first time and interfered in that match. So they came back to try to save face and say that, okay, well, yeah, she came and helped Jade, but Britt Baker cut a promo saying that I'm the reason why she was here. I sent her here to take care of Thunder Rosa. And so this is how it came back to, oh, it was you, huh? Oh, it was that bitch. I'm going to kick your ass again. And then they got it back popping again. So like I said, They kind of, I don't know if they really built that up. I think they kind of got lucky and was able to figure out a way to make that still work, to bring those two back together. Because I thought they were going to go with Jade and Thunder Rosa for a feud, even after Jade won the belt. But they went back to her because they wanted Jade to just do what she's doing, I guess, continue to beat people up. And they didn't want her to just do that with Thunder Rosa, I guess. But anyway, look, the match was okay. Britt, I got to say, I don't know if it's possible that you can start off in wrestling. Well, she had been wrestling, but she coming to the big doll, to the big leagues now. AEW is a big thing now. It's a new promotion.
Yeah.
She didn't do so good to start off with a promo. It was terrible. She botched it. But then she came back and she just started getting better and better. And I'm like, okay, they're really going to push this thing, though. And I'm glad, though, because I think she's the best they have at the moment. Okay, but we got to understand it was Rio, it was Sheeta, it was Nyla Rose. That was about it. Okay?
That was it.
And just a bunch of people coming from other promotions, you know, showing up on a weekly basis. That was all we had. Okay? So with all that being said, Britt Baker started to get better in the ring, and the promos, definitely she started to kill it. Well, how do you digress? Because she definitely, I mean, how do you regress? Because she's definitely kind of tucking a step back. That match was kind of terrible on her part. I thought Thunder Rosa did the best she could to, you know, put Britt over and make her look good. But, man, Britt just, I don't know. She seemed a little lost in that match. Her skills just kind of seemed to be rusty. I'm not sure. I think maybe this is what happens when you put her in a pay-per-view match, but she didn't have a lot of matches leading up into it, except for that tag team match that they had, you know, before the week before. But, yeah, man, look, I'm going to give you, I'm going to let you have it. I'm done. I'm not trying to crap on Britt Baker right now because I still like Britt Baker. It's just that, man, I'm about what's fair, and it's not fair for her to continue to do this, and she hadn't really had a real good story. They hadn't really did a lot with her since she's been a champion, and she just didn't wrestle enough as a champion, where Rio and Rashida, what she did during the pandemic in 2020 as a champion, I've said this before, her and Mox, it was unbelievable. Because they had no fans, and they still showed up every week, every night, and they did the thing. And she was fighting as a champion. She was a fighting champion for a whole year, I believe, damn near. And Britt Baker probably has damn near went into a year as well. I think it would be a year in maybe May. And they're probably going to stretch that out into All Out, too, before she loses finally. But now I'm not feeling it because...
When was her last defense?
Her last defense?
Mm-hmm.
You mean before last night?
Before last night.
Man, I want to say it was, I don't remember, man. It ain't been that long, but it was cheap, though. I mean, they just threw it up and said, hey, she's going to fight you at Rampage. I forgot who it was, but it wasn't even worth remembering. But it hadn't been that long, but before then, it had been quite some time. And I think they just threw that in just because, hey, we're going to get her back in Revolution and she's going to have a fight, so she's got to do something, but... Yeah, man, I'm disappointed.
My reason for asking that, though, Jarvis, is that you look at the last time we've had a meaningful Britt Baker match, championship match.
Mm-hmm.
We've had all sorts of stuff happen with Jade Cargill. And, Jarvis, I think they found themselves a real problem here. And I think they have the same problem that the WWE had when they decided to put the secondary major championship on Roman Reigns, who became the most over guy in the company, who literally became the head of the table. It wasn't just a gimmick. He literally is – everybody's eating off Roman because they ain't got much else over there. They have found themselves where, to me, the average fan is going to recognize Jade Cargill as the actual women's champion. Now, I know Britt Baker is the AEW Women's Champion, but so was Bobby Lashley as the WWE Champion. So was Big E as the WWE Champion. But we all knew that the guy, the actual champion, was Roman Reigns. And I feel like AEW has kind of sort of found themselves in the same situation where Jade Cargill is the recognized champion. Now, WWE is correcting that by putting Roman and Brock in a quote-unquote unification match, because all of a sudden they realize, oh, Roman is our actual champion, but he doesn't hold our championship. He holds the Universal Championship, which is not the WWE Championship.
Okay.
So now I think AEW has unintentionally found themselves in that same spot where Jade Cargill is the champ. Jade Cargill is the undefeated champ. Jade Cargill is the one that you want to beat, because the person that beats Jade Cargill will be known forever as the person that beat Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
And her undefeated streak, her championship, her look, her glamour, her prestige, in the sense that she's an undefeated, unbeatable champion, of course, she'll be beaten at some point. The person that does that, damn, they're over. And it's got to be somebody that's really, over. This is one thing where WCW failed at, where somebody should have come along and beaten Goldberg. To me, it should have been DDP. That would have been great. But they let Kevin Nash control his own fate and book himself beating Goldberg, which was just horrendous. But I think AEW has found themselves in a bad spot where they really haven't demanded a lot of Britt Baker as a champion. And now, to me, Jade Cargill has unintentionally become the champion.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, you make a good point, too.
Yeah.
That's a good point you make. And I'm with you on that. And, hey, I guess it would be too much. It would everybody would, I guess, shit on them if they did exactly what WWE is doing and put Jade and Britt Baker in a champion versus champion match. You know,
they kind of have to.
You think that they still have to?
I think that it's a situation where who's gonna beat Britt Baker? If Thunder Rosa didn't beat her, who's gonna beat her?
Well, here's the. I get what you're saying. You make a good point, and it all depends on her injury. That's the only thing I can say to that. It depends on her injury. If she's okay to keep going and work through this, there's a rumor, and this has to stop happening. Like, stop with the leaks, AEW. You're really reminding me of the 49ers when Trent Baalke was the general manager and everything got leaked up until they finally got rid of him. But I digress. Hey, I think that there's a rumor out right now that they're going to fight. Where Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, she'll finally get her one-on-one in a steel cage, and it'll be probably set for the St. Patrick's Day show, which would be not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday's show, and they would finally get rid of the interference because, again, Britt Baker did retain the title. What I forgot to mention is that she didn't do it squeaky clean. Once again,
her
girls, Rebel and Jamie Hayter, were out there doing their thing, and they definitely were the reason why Thunder Rosa lost that match. I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, we need Jamie Hayter on TV a little bit more too. Tony,
I agree with that.
We need TK. We need her on TV a little bit more now. All right, you can go ahead and push the dentist back to the side now because she is I'm a little disappointed in her championship run, but her promos have still been good. But she just It's just everything's been kind of more backstage. It's just been so much other things going on.
I'm kind of those little backstage, little cute promos with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah,
I'm over those. That ain't doing anything for me.
I'm over those. It needs to be out in the ring and the crowd. All of them more than likely need to be like that. And on top of all of that.
I can say this, and I can say it with no animosity at all because I like Britt Baker. I like her look. I like her gimmick.
Mm-hmm. I love the gimmick.
I even like her little cute relationship with Adam Cole.
Uh-huh. Well, they need to put that on TV more.
Right now, Jarvis, she's the worst champion in the company.
Yeah. I can't argue with that, man. I can't argue with that.
To me, it's not really that close.
I can't argue with that. And the reason why I can't argue with that is just because they've done nothing with the champions. Every time when the Lucha Brothers were the champions, they had no story with them. They would just defend the title every now and then, and hey, they're still the champions. I hope everybody's happy. No, but you did nothing with them. There's no angle. There's no story with no other tag team. Same thing with Jurassic Express right now. They were just in that tag team title match, a three-way match. They had no story with the Bucks. They had no story with Red Dragon. The same thing with Sammy Guevara. He had no story as a champion with the guys that he went up against on Friday night with Rampage.
Right.
On Rampage.
Right. I gotta make a run. Before I get out of here, Tony Khan announced that he was purchasing Ring of Honor. Just quick thoughts on that.
Well, him purchasing Ring of Honor, I would say that's big news for AEW. It's big news for the wrestling world because they get Ring of Honor's library, and now if they're going to actually get a TV show out of this and they're going to be on, there's rumors that they could be on True TV where we're going to get another hour or two of wrestling, maybe split some of the Ring of Honor free agents up with some of the people from Dark. And now you get people on TV more. Red Velvet hadn't been on TV in a while. She showed up last night to help out in the buy-in after Statlander lost to, I can't think of her name, but she had a pretty good win, though, in the buy-in. Forgot to mention that. But, look, it's good for wrestling, period, because you get to see all the old days of CM Punk, Stone Cold, when they were in Ring of Honor. You get to see all of that. And, look, if the rumor is true about them doing a deal with HBO Max, then now you have another WWE network. You know, the same thing that they're doing with Peacock. AEW may be about to do it with HBO Max, and they're going to have all of AEW's 3-year run so far, what they've done in 3 years. Mm-hmm. You'll get all of that library on demand, and then you get all of Ring of Honors. And look, I think it'll be great.
Part
it'll be
some,
fine.
And part of it's in New Japan in there too, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's, I forgot to mention them in New Japan. And then there were still going to be other announcement to come from Tony Khan on exactly what's going to happen
here.
Yeah,
hey, one thing about Tony Khan, and I give him credit for it, I'll say this, and I got to get out of here. Man, he's going for it. Whatever it is, whatever this grand prize is he's trying to go for, I don't know. But whatever it is, you can rest assured, Tony freaking Khan is going for it.
He's all
every
in.
Week he's coming with something. And, you know, I don't know if it's a situation where the dog was chasing the car. What do you do when you catch the car, you know? I don't know if that's the case or not, but Tony Khan is going for it. He is going for it with everything that he has. I think Tony Khan, if he could, he would empty out his checkbook, man. I really do.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see in the next few years where AEW is. I hope it ascends even higher than what it is now. But whatever the case may be, it won't be because Tony Khan didn't try.
There you go. Well said,
I can guarantee you that.
There you go. It won't be because he didn't try. Because, I mean, WWE was trying to buy Ring of Honor as well. I'm sure you know that, T. But Tony Khan won. I don't know how, if it was a bidding war, what were the reasons why WWE couldn't get it, but Tony Khan put up.
He probably just had a set amount. But you know, back in the day, there would be nobody else to compete with. But Tony Khan has money. He's got as much money as Vince, if not more.
He does. It's more, and I mean, he paid $30 to $40 million. I heard to get Ring of Honor. So
yeah, Vince probably offered him 10 and closed the door.
There you go. Yep. Not that he couldn't do it, but that's just what he does. And hey, like you said, Tony's going all out. We just hope it works. Ladies and gentlemen, we almost gave you 90 full minutes of this show. T, I appreciate it, man. Another great show.
Oh, man. Hey, it was the pleasure was mine, as always.
All righty. That's right. And now he's about to sign off. I'm about to sign off. We will be back to give you more of the Great Debate Show. Nick Ely will return with us when we talk about the NBA, some more NFL news, just so much more in sports, and we'll be back with more wrestling because there's just so much more to talk about with wrestling. And, hey, Jeff Hardy, he'll probably be showing up also Wednesday night on Dynamite. That's all we've got. Hope you've enjoyed. Thank you for listening. T, you got anything else?
That's it, man. We'll catch you guys later in the week.
All right. Peace. Y'all be safe.
Peace. Take care, man.